The sheer amount of thundering and pounding was, in the end, more than Arthur and Ford could deal with. After they had spent nearly 2 hours prancing about doing increasingly foolish things with a medium-sized, floral-patterned bath towel, they had not managed to get even one of the great beasts thundering and pounding past them to do so much as glance casually in their direction. They were within 3 feet of the horizontal avalanche of sweating bodies. To have been much closer would have been to risk instant death, chronologic or no chronologic. Arthur had seen what remained of any perfectly normal beast, which, as the result of a clumsy misthrow by a young and inexperienced Lamuellan hunter, had got speared while still thundering and pounding with the herd. One stumble was all it took. No prior appointment with death on Stavromula Beta, wherever the hell Stavromula Beta was, would save you or anybody else from the thunderous, mangling pounding of those hooves. At last, Arthur and Ford staggered back. They sat down, exhausted and defeated, and started to criticise each other's technique with the towel. "You've got to flick it more," complained Ford. "You need more follow-through from the elbow if you're going to get those blasted creatures to notice anything at all." "Follow-through," protested Arthur. "You need more suppleness in the wrist." "You need more after-flourish," countered Ford. "You need a bigger towel."
"You need," said another voice, "a picker bird."
"You what?" The voice had come from behind them. They turned, and there, standing behind them in the early morning sun, was old Thrashbarg.
"To attract the attention of a perfectly normal beast," he said, walked forward towards them, "you need a picker bird, like this."
From under the rough, cassocky robe-like thing he wore, he drew a small picker bird. It sat restlessly on old Thrashbarg's hand and peered intently at Bob knows what, darting around about 3 feet 6 inches in front of it. Ford instantly went into the sort of alert crouch he liked to do when he wasn't quite sure what was going on or what he ought to do about it. He waved his arms around very slowly in what he hoped was an ominous manner. "Who is this?" he hissed.
"It's just old Thrashbarg," said Arthur quietly, "and I wouldn't bother with all the fancy movements. He's just as experienced a bluffer as you are. You could end up dancing around each other all day."
"The bird," hissed Ford again. "What's the bird?"
"It's just a bird," said Arthur impatiently. "It's like any other bird. It lays eggs and goes arc at things you can't see, or car or writ or something."
"Have you seen one lay eggs?" said Ford suspiciously. "For heaven's sake, of course I have," said Arthur. "I've eaten hundreds of them. Make rather a good omelette. The secret is little cubes of cold butter and then whipping it lightly with—" "I don't want a zarking recipe," said Ford. "I just want to be sure it's real. It's a real bird and not some kind of multidimensional cyber nightmare."
He slowly stood up from his crouched position and started to brush himself down. He was still watching the bird, though. "So," said old Thrashbarg to Arthur, "is it written that Bob shall once more take back unto himself the benediction of his once-given sandwich-maker?" Ford almost went back into his crouch.
"It's all right," muttered Arthur. "He always talks like that." Aloud, he said, "Ah, venerable Thrashbarg, I'm afraid I think I'm going to have to be popping off now, but young Drimple, my apprentice, will be a fine sandwich-maker in my stead. He has the aptitude, a deep love of sandwiches, and the skills he has acquired so far, though rudimentary as yet, will in time mature and, I think he'll work out okay, is what I'm trying to say."
Old Thrashbarg regarded him gravely. His old grey eyes moved sadly. He held his arms aloft, one still carrying a bobbing picker bird, the other his staff. "O sandwich-maker from Bob!" he pronounced. He paused, furrowed his brow, and sighed as he closed his eyes in pious contemplation. "Life," he said, "will be a very great deal less weird without you."
Arthur was stunned. "Do you know," he said, "I think that's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me."
"Can we get on, please?" said Ford.
Something was already happening. The presence of the picker bird at the end of Thrashbarg's outstretched arm was sending tremors of interest through the thundering herd. The odd head flicked momentarily in their direction. Arthur began to remember some of the perfectly normal beast hunts he had witnessed. He recalled that as well as the hunter matadors brandishing their capes, there were always others standing behind them holding picker birds. He had always assumed that, like him, they had just come along to watch. Old Thrashbarg moved forward, a little closer to the rolling herd. Some of the beasts were now tossing their heads back with interest at the sight of the picker bird. Old Thrashbarg's outstretched arms were trembling. Only the picker bird itself seemed to show no interest in what was going on. A few anonymous molecules of air, nowhere in particular, engaged all of its perky attention.
"Now," exclaimed old Thrashbarg at last, "now you may work them with the towel."